When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great future. We're talking real money.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Question and Answer Podcast. We were light on questions. It took a while to get to the four. So if you'd like to ask a question and get an answer pretty fast these days, just go to talkingrealmoney.com, click on the contact button, and speak your question into your mic on your computer or your phone or your tablet or whatever you have. It's really easy. And today we've got, let me look. Yes, we do have four questions. Just got four questions. And let's start with the first one.
Hey, it's James from Virginia. I am looking at making a adjustment to my portfolio, and I don't do these lightly, so I wanted to run it by you guys. I'm looking to increase my emerging market exposure because I'm a little underweighted at that when I look at the global market share. Right now, it seems to be at about 25%. Right now, I'm only getting my emerging markets through my international VXUS, which currently is making up, roughly 45% of my portfolio. So, I have about an eighth of mine in emerging market instead of a quarter. So I'm looking at adding some emerging market blend and emerging market small cap value to increase that to match more so with global markets. So I'm looking at making my portfolio 40% VTI for U.S. blend, 10% AVUV for U.S. small cap value, 21.33% VXUS for international blend, and 10.67% just through the Vanguard emerging market. And then for small cap exposure and international, I'm doing 4%. In AVDV and 4% in AVEE. So with that, essentially it's been an 80-20 split between blend and small cap value, and then, like a 55%, 45% split in US and international, trying to match the global markets. And then I also have 10% in REITs, which is through AVRE mostly. Just curious on your thoughts on that. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
Well, James, I wouldn't worry about checking with anybody because you do this well. You've got, and you can't do it a lot better than your proposal, where you're about 55 U.S. and 45 international. A little heavier weighting to emerging than you have is fine. The tilt to small and value is great. I would probably do exactly what you said you were going to do, you wanted to do, and then just make sure on an annual basis that you rebalance that. If you do those things, then you're as close to, you really are, you're as close to the perfect portfolio from our perspective that I can imagine. You're just right there. For the equity portion. Now that's not discussing, we're not discussing bonds and the like, just the equity portion. And then the REITs, maybe a little high, but again, that's quibbling. So yeah, I love the fact that you're emulating the market. You're doing it with really, really great products that give you broad exposure at reasonable prices. And again, once a year, rebalance. And thanks for listening. We really, truly appreciate you. Send in your questions at talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. It's really easy. Also, make sure you call us. If you want to talk with us, have a conversation, call us on Saturdays between 3 and 5 Eastern, noon and 2 Pacific, when we do a live show in the Seattle area. And that becomes a podcast later. And you can call us at 855-935-8255. 855-935-TALK. Next question.
I'm self-employed and have an individual Roth 401k at Vanguard. A couple of years ago, I finally got around to consolidating some old Roth IRAs and old employer-sponsored plans at Vanguard too. So now I have traditional IRA, Roth IRA, and my solo 401k all at Vanguard, with everything invested in Vanguard index funds or ETFs. Everything was simple, and I was happy. But I just received the notice from Vanguard that in July of this year, my 401k will be moved to Ascensus. I don't know anything about Ascensus, and I'm hoping you can tell me if this move is good, bad, or neutral. Should I let my 401k be moved to Ascensus, or is there a better option? If possible, I would like to keep my IRAs and my 401k at the same place for convenience.
Vanguard seems to be doing a lot of strange things lately. They've really become a very different company. They feel more like a for-profit company than a non-profit company these days in many respects. In some of their customer service issues they've had, some of the mistakes they've made, and this one's fascinating. What they're doing is they're selling off their 401k administration business to Ascensus. Now, Ascensus is going to do it for the exact same price that Vanguard charges right now. However, all the stuff that I read seems to be missing one important point, and that is that if you're invested with Vanguard in Vanguard's program or were invested through Vanguard in Vanguard's products, you got fees waived if you were above a certain amount of money in your account, and it was a low amount. So you got those fees waived. They're not big fees, but you got them waived. It's $20 per account, per participant, and then $20 per investment product. And Ascensus charges the same fee, but let me look at it. What was it? Vanguard waived those fees, I believe, if you had $10,000 in the funds on that $20 fee per fund, or at least $50,000 in total assets with Vanguard. So it saved you some. It didn't save you much. Should you do something else? Well, sounds like it might be more work. I mean, you can still keep all your accounts with Vanguard. You just have a different administrator of the accounts. I mean, you can keep your Vanguard investments. You're just going to have a different account administrator, which will be Ascensus. But my question is, Vanguard, what are you guys doing? You used to be so across the board client friendly, and it feels different. It does. And I'm a person who's been a Vanguard advocate, oh my gosh, since the 80s? Since the 80s, on the radio, nationally. One time when I was doing my show out of Walt Disney Studios, the Disney MGM Studios, the media director, they kept track of everything, by the way. This was back in the days, really before computers, and they had transcripts of every single word I spoke, before they were, you know, ubiquitous like they are now. And they told me that they could... Absolutely. This was after I'd been talking about Vanguard funds for probably 4 years, maybe three. They told me that I had brought to Vanguard over $3 billion in assets. Now, I didn't get compensated for that in any way. But I've been a big advocate. And so for me to say that they just don't feel like the same company is a pretty big deal. They don't. They don't. Anyway, no, I just sit tight. It's not that much. It's not that big a deal unless it somehow becomes uncomfortable, ponderous. It adds some layers of additional work. It's not going to be that hard. The other thing you could do is move them all. No, that would be hard. I don't think I'd mess with it. I'd just leave it alone right now. Anything else sounds like hard work. Thanks so much for your question. Really, truly appreciate it. And of course, I love it when you send in your questions at talkingrealmoney.com or call us on Saturdays at 855-935-TALK. Let's do the next one.
Hey, Don and Tom, got a quick question. What do you think about a portfolio that is half VT and half AVGE? And what are the pros and cons of that choice? The thought behind it was factor investing is cool, but I don't know if I want to put all my eggs in one basket. I'm guessing at the end of the day, the results will probably be similar, but just a thought. Let me know. Thanks. Bye-bye.
I'm thinking that you're probably overthinking. However, having both is not a bad thing, and it's not that much work. I'd own both. I wouldn't mind owning both. AVGE, which is the Avantis Total World Market Fund, that's the whole thing. The VT is Vanguard's Total World Stock Index Fund. They're very, very similar. Now, expectation. The return on AVGE, if the future emulates what we've seen for the past almost 100 years, should make you a little more money. But it's taking a little more risk because it's tilting towards small companies and value stocks. That is more risk. Risk and reward are linked. So the AVGE should be a more risky portfolio. It follows. If you're making more money, you're taking more risk. You pretty much have to. That's the way the markets work because they're highly efficient. When you've got billions of transactions going on every day, the markets are highly efficient. So the only way to make more money is to take more risk. And the way we get rid of some of the risk in portfolios is through diversification. But on the equity side of the equation, these are very diversified. So if you want to take the risk to make a little more money, then more AVGE, or you can do like you're doing. Cut it right down the middle, half one way, half the other. Not going to make that much difference over time. Might make some. Thank you so much for your question. I really, truly appreciate it. Now, to our final one for, well, this session, anyway.
Is there a way to determine the premium of a call option at some random point in the future when the target price of the underlying stock is reached?
All right, we're going to have to start with an education on this one because options are confusing and they're actually kind of meant to be. But when you they're simple once you get the concept. When you buy an option, a call option, let's just use calls, that's what we're talking about. A call option gives you the right to buy a stock over a certain period of time ranging from days to at most months. You pay what is called a premium for the right to buy a stock in the future that you think is going to go way up, but you don't want to tie up a lot of your money in it. Say you've got a stock that right now is trading at $50 a share, all right? And you are willing, you think it's going to go up. You don't know how high, but you think it's going to go up a lot higher, a lot. And you want to take advantage of that, but you don't want to tie up a lot of your money. It's a form of leverage. So let's say you're paying $2 for an option on this stock. And you pay $2 for a $60 option, which means you can buy the stock in the future at $60. But instead of buying it at $60, you're in essence you'll end up paying $62 if you take the stock. Now what happens is that once the stock reaches $62, or $52, I'm sorry, you have broken even. So it as it keeps rising, you can now sell the stock at a profit. If it goes to 63, you're going to be able to take a dollar profit. If it goes to 64, you're going to double your money, potentially. There are some things that go into that premium that change that amount a little, but not really. Because at 62, you're at a break even. You can buy the stock and walk away. However, if the stock goes down in value, eventually your option just expires worthless because the option only goes out up to 9 months. So it'll just expire. Is there a way to calculate what that value will be in the future? No. because if there was an accurate, predictable way to calculate what that value would be in the future, then there would be no premiums for buying the uncertainty that a call option provides. You don't know if you're going to make money or not. You can't, basically, it would be like saying you know when the stock is going to go up. Now, the premium declines with time. As you get closer to the strike date, the date when the option expires, the value people are, the amount people are willing to pay declines because they have less time to see the stock go up. If that stock stayed at $50, $50, $50, $50 all along the way, the premium would begin declining. And even though the stock stays at $60, your option by the end could be 2 cents in the last few days because it's not worth buying. So there's no way to know this. If there was a way to know this, just like everything else about predicting the future, then the future would be certain, and uncertainty is why we get paid for taking risks. Now, options are pure gambling. Pure gambling. If you're a buyer of options, you are merely a bettor on the price of a stock. You are not an investor in that stock. Don't call yourself, no, I'm investing in options. You're not investing in options. You're gambling in options. And admit it, you're a gambler. People hate to admit they're gamblers. They do. They'll tie themselves in knots to avoid saying, I am a gambler. But you are a gambler if you're buying call options, period. Thanks for the questions. Thank you all for listening. Glad you're there. Hope you tell a friend or two or 10. If you want to ask questions, go to talkingrealmoney.com on the contact form. If you'd like to call us live with questions, just call us on Saturdays between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255. It's free. It's easy. We'd love to answer your questions. We love doing it every Saturday. Tom and I are almost always together for that, and we hope you're there too. Also, the Talking Real Money Road Trip, it's up on talkingrealmoney.com. I've got many of my stops along the way listed now, and then I'm going to be planning the other half of the Western trip for July really soon. And Tom is actually going to stop halfway. He's going to fly out and meet me halfway so that he can meet with some of you. He said, we have so many listeners in Wisconsin that I want to go to Madison and meet with people. So he's flying to Madison. He's going to get an office for a day on Friday the 19th of July. If you want to meet with him, just send me a note at talkingrealmoney.com and we will we'll work that out. He'll be there. Thanks for listening again. Take good care of yourselves. I'm Don. And I'm talking real money.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone. This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Please see Appella Wealth's ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services. Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Is anybody still listening?